Secrets of the First School by Tendai L. Huchu. The narrative of Secrets of the First School begins with the startling realization that the protagonist, Ropa Moyo, is dead and has been cast into the other place, a bleak realm in the astral plane reserved for wayward spirits. This dimension is characterized by jagged rocks, formless deserts of slag, charcoal-hued clouds, and a constant ultraviolet light that permeates the atmosphere. Ropa experiences a numbing cold and a gnawing hunger, discovering her hands look like dehydrated husks. It is in this wilderness that she is found by Sir George, Bloody, Mackenzie, the 17th-century Lord Advocate she previously exorcised, who saves her from being devoured by ether demons, massive, tentacled Cthulhu-like creatures that feed on lost souls. Mackenzie takes her to a cave where she is reunited with the spectral form of her father, Macamborero Moyo, the secret history of Ropa Moyo. In the cave, Macamborero reveals the horrific truth of Ropa's origins, which shatters her understanding of her life. He explains that Ropa actually died during childbirth at the Our Lady of Mysterious Ailments clinic 21 years prior. Driven by a bright, burning rage and a refusal to accept mortality, Macamborero used dark magic to bind her soul to the world without a vessel. For 5 years, he conducted illegal experiments, eventually kidnapping infants from the royal infirmary to find a suitable body. He finally succeeded in swapping Ropa's soul into another child's body, effectively murdering that child's soul in the process. Ropa is devastated to learn she is essentially a parasite living someone else's life. Macamborero further reveals that her grandmother, Melcy Mondoro, and her mentor, Sir Ian Callender, were not her biological relatives but were part of the group that discovered his lab. When they attempted to stop his experiments, a struggle ensued. A young Ropa, in her stolen body, walked into the lab, distracting Macamborero and allowing Melcy to strike him down and banish his soul to the other place. Melcy then raised Ropa and her sister, Izwi, weaving a web of lies to protect him from the truth of their father's wickedness, escape from the other place. The peace in the cave is short-lived as Mackenzie demands Ropa be sacrificed. To power a portal he and Macamborero have been building to return to the realms beyond. Mackenzie argues that sacrifices need to be made, and that he has already hunted dozens of souls to fuel the gateway. However, Macamborero betrays Mackenzie, shoving him into the swirling vortex of Howling Soulstone to provide the final burst of energy needed to open the door. Macamborero gives Ropa a silver spiral Triskeleza key, and shoves her through the gateway just as the ether demons breach their cavern. Ropa is shredded into a million parts and transported across dimensions, eventually feeling her soul re-tether to a physical form, the resurrection and the first school. Ropa wakes up naked in a copper bathtub filled with ice, crystals, and herbs in a ruin on the Isle of Iona. She is attended by Priyanka, Priya, Kapoor, Cornelius Lethington, and the Grand Deterra Cosmos, who used a sacred Ethiopian scroll, the Book of the Shaded Mysteries of Solomon, to summon her soul back from the realms beyond. As Ropa recovers, Ranjita Kapoor, Priya's mother, and Theodosia Lovell, matriarch of the traveling folk, reveal the existence of the first school. They explain that before the scientific magic of the Society of Skeptical Inquirers, there was an older, folkloric tradition of witchcraft. These daughters of Scotia were hunted and slaughtered for 400 years, forcing them to withdraw into the shadows and pass their knowledge orally from mother to daughter. Ranjita reveals that Melcy Mondoro was a prominent witch and leader within this hidden coven, meaning Ropa was a student of the first school at her grandmother's kitchen table without ever realizing it, the Dundas coup and the siege of Aberdeen. While Ropa was dead, Henry Dundas, the first Viscount Melville, officially took over the Society of Skeptical Inquirers in Edinburgh, declaring himself secretary, by right of might. He has begun consolidating power by demanding blood oaths from all magicians, executing those who refuse. Desperate to protect her sister, Ropa travels with Priya to the Aberdeen School of Magic and Esoterica. Upon arrival, they find the school under attack by the Dundas cult, led by Lady Rithabal Labusa. During the chaos, Ropa discovers that her former best friend, Jomo Mega, has joined the cult and kidnapped Izwi. Jomo lies to Izwi, telling her that Ropa is waiting for her in Edinburgh to ensure her compliance. Ropa and Priya are confronted by Fenella MacLeod, who mocks Ropa for not being a real magician. A brutal fight ensues, and Priya is forced to kill Fenella by slamming her wheelchair into the girl's head. Dundas and his followers escape with Izwi on a catamaran, leaving Ropa and Priya stranded on the beach, the Glasgow Betrayal and the Sphishery. Ropa and Priya travel to Glasgow to seek help from the Lord Kelvin Institute. However, Professor Fergus Katamala reveals that Glasgow has betrayed the other schools, choosing to remain independent in a backroom deal with Dundas. He demands Roper hand over the fairy flag, a magical artifact stolen from Dunvegan Castle that Dundas needs to solidify his power over life and death. Fleeing the city, Roper and Priya are chased by Naha Walsh and Avery MacDonald. In the struggle, Avery attempts to cast forbidden magic that goes horribly wrong. The fabric of reality splits, and Swishirian Holly Corvid-like creatures from Zimbabwean lore emerge from the void and devour Avery's soul. Roper realizes that the boundary between the living world and the Avery there is unraveling because of Dundas's interference with the fairy flag, the vision and the blood oath. Back in Glasgow, Ranjita drugs Roper with a dreaming potion. In a trance, Roper visits the land of the tall grass, the paradise of the Shona ancestors. She speaks with the spirit of her grandmother, who explains that Roper is destined to be a Sphikiro, a great medium. Gran offers to be Roper's guide, and Roper is filled with the collective memories and understanding of generations of women who came before her. Roper accepts her, heirlooms, her Mabira. Now combined with a piece of the fairy flag, her magical scarf Crookshank, her grandfather's jacket, and a walking stick that serves as a symbol of authority. The daughters of Scotia and a small contingent of Doric magicians, from the Aberdeen School, gather at Dean Cemetery. Roper gives a rousing speech, reminding the witches of Frances Coburn, Theodosia's daughter, who was a spy for the coven and was brutally burnt at the stake by Dundas. The women perform a blood oath upon Louisa Stevenson's grave, committing themselves to the battle against the magicians, the final battle at St. Andrew Square. The witches launch a multi-pronged attack on Dundas House. In Edinburgh, Theodosia Lovell uses an ancient, powerful spell to pull down the massive Henry Dundas statue. On St. Andrew Square, using it as a battering ram to smash the western wall of the society headquarters. A chaotic melee follows, with witches using unconventional magic like topiary animal sand moonlight vines against the magician's Zeusian lightning and thermospheres. Roper uses her Mabira to manipulate the fundamental vibrations of the universe, bypassing the need for Greek incantations. She discovers she can create sonic pulses, and even summon the Voikor, the horse-headed guardians of the Avery there at will, the jewel and the Voikor. The battle is interrupted by the arrival of King Charles, accompanied by English magicians and Lord Sashvindu Samarasinghe, who demands an end to the breach of the king's peace. Roper challenges Henry Dundas to a duel for the position of secretary, a challenge the king permits. Dundas, who has taken on a fully physical and vigorous form by stealing the essence of others, initially overwhelms Roper with superior willpower. In a moment of desperation, Roper stops trying to fight Dundas with scientific magic and instead summons the Voikor. From the sky, the terrifying creatures descend and rip Henry Dundas apart, devouring his soul and ensuring he can never return. Resolution, the witch's choice. In the aftermath, Lord Samarasinghe kills the remaining cult leaders, including Montgomery Wedderburn, to hide his own complicity in the scheme. Roper rescues Iswi, who reveals that Dundas wanted to use her to channel the king's dead mother. The king meets with Roper on the Royal Mile and, recognizing her wisdom and courage, frees her from his service and ensures she will no longer be harassed by the police. Dr. Pythagoras Mager, now a broken man without a library, asks Roper if she will take up the secretaryship of the society. Roper rejects the offer and the society entirely, declaring her true identity to the world. I ain't no magician, man, I'm a motherfucking witch. The book concludes with Roper, Priya, and Iswi together in Morningside, finally at peace and ready to face a future defined by their own rules rather than those of the magicians. This summary is for educational purposes only. This audio is exclusively created for AfriNovels.com. Thank you.